pray to speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many times bigger than this place, the Jerusalem temple stood impressively, maybe even a bit forbiddingly, in that holiest of cities. If you go there now, there's virtually nothing left. It was destroyed by the Romans, really not very long after the time of Jesus. But you can see the footprint. You can imagine its grandeur. Into that vast building, thronging with people, noisy with languages, the air thick with the odors of incense and animals and blood sacrifice, into all this maelstrom comes the little refugee group, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They're there for two ritual reasons, and being faithful people, they've dared to go to the big city and do their duty. With Herod's rage fresh in their minds, we can imagine their nervousness. But under the law, the firstborn male had to be consecrated to God, and Mary had to be purified after birth by bringing a sacrifice. Being poor, they were allowed to bring just two pigeons. If you visit a great cathedral now and want to speak to a priest for a prayer or a blessing or counsel or confession, you'll usually find yourself in a little side chapel with a duty priest, maybe somebody quite junior in rank, though probably of some age. And more often than not, glad to say, that priest will be as wise and as encouraging as he or she is apparently unimportant in the midst of all that magnificence. And so it is for Mary and Joseph. They find Simeon. And their brave commitment to their ritual obligations is rewarded in a way they could never have imagined. They're given another glimpse into what Jesus means, not just for them, but for the whole world, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Those who built that gargantuan temple and those who ran it, and no doubt most of the pilgrims who were there, all had a hope of the saving of the Jewish people by a Messiah, a Lord who would suddenly come to his temple like a refining fire. We heard that in Malachi's prophecy. But they miss it. The prophecy's fulfilled on the edge of the crowd, barely noticed. God is born into the midst of his temple, shrouded in poor ordinariness. And an ordinary old priest who has been given extraordinary insight is rewarded with the encounter he was promised. Here is salvation. He can say, now I can die. What we're doing here now is another small huddle on the edge of a busy, crowded scene. The big wide world is not looking in our direction. If any do catch a glimpse, they probably think, what funny carryings on. Great building, great choir, but what are they doing? We are the sideshow now in a society whose attention has turned from God, or whose attention to God has been warped out of true. But as Simeon recognized then, so now we have to recognize that Jesus is here, the light that reveals God to the whole world. Jesus comes to us in our ordinariness now and gives us the extraordinary privilege of bearing him in our hearts and in our words and in our actions out beyond this holy hour into the rest of our lives. We need to stay close to him, keeping the flame alight, nurturing it. There is intimacy, even fragility in this candle flame. And we don't do it alone. You can't be a Christian on your own. That frail flame does not need to do all the work on its own. We do it as members of a body, his body, the church. In St. Paul's Cathedral, at the west end, there are two big votive candle stands. Now, one little candle in that vast space would struggle to make any kind of difference. But by the end of the day, every day, the stands are aglow with loads of candles which just glitter. They can be seen right from the far end, from the east end of the cathedral. And if you draw close, you then feel real warmth, a great warmth coming off them. What we do here, what we do every minute of our lives, when done with the light of Jesus burning visibly in us, is really noticeable when we do it as a body of people. No blast of cold air from the hard-heartedness and scorn which seems to be at large in society can snuff out that flame in us. The light we share can bring warmth and brightness, real illumination to a world which really needs it. So let's nurture that light in each other, encourage it to flame out into a world where the Spirit already is, waiting to fire us up and fire us on. And if such shared light does attract attention, let what people see be worth seeing. Something beautiful, something attractive and warm.